So if your kid gets lost today, that $1,000 smartphone in their pocket, the one with, the global satellite tracking, ultra-fast 5G instant video calling.
Right. The whole works.
Yeah. That exact phone might actually be the absolute worst tool to help you find them.
It's a terrifying thought,
It
honestly.
really is. Welcome to this deep dive, everyone. Today we are going straight to the heart of child safety tech.
And it is such an important topic right now.
Absolutely. We're exploring this highly relevant, incredibly detailed guide that was published literally today, June 3, 2026. It's by AngelSense.
Titled Phone Tracking versus GPS Trackers for Kids.
Exactly. And our mission for you listening today is to really figure out if these devices that we all just implicitly trust, I mean, we hand them to our kids without a second thought, are they actually worthy of that trust?
Because, we live in this era where being digitally connected is just constantly mistaken for being physically secure.
Right. Like, I can text you, so you must be safe.
Exactly.
Athlete.
We assume that because we can instantly reach our kids, we always know exactly where they are and that they're okay. And I mean, smartphones are undeniably incredible pieces of engineering, right?
Oh, for sure. For communication, entertainment, all of that.
Yeah. But as this AngelSense guide really points out, they were not inherently built from the ground up to protect a vulnerable person.
Which is a huge distinction.
It is. It becomes super critical when you consider, say, autistic children, or kids who are just really prone to wandering, or honestly, any child who might struggle to navigate this super complex interface when they're overwhelmed.
Which perfectly frames our central dilemma for you guys listening. I mean, we all have smartphones. Millions of families are already using those built-in tracking apps.
Because it's easy.
Right, it feels like the default zero effort option.
Yeah.
So the big question we're answering today is a phone actually enough?
Or is investing in a dedicated safety device the smarter, potentially, life-saving choice?
Okay, so let's unpack this. And I want to start with the actual technology because I'll be completely honest, my own assumption has always just been tracking is tracking, you know?
A lot of people think that.
Like my Find My app works perfectly when I'm trying to locate my lost AirPods in the couch cushions. So why would it suddenly just fail when I'm tracking my kid across town?
Well, because finding a static object on your own home Wi-Fi network is a vastly different technological challenge than tracking a moving human being out in the real world.
Okay, that makes sense.
The way mobile phone tracking operates is actually much more of a patchwork than people realize. Like, when your child is outdoors, their phone is primarily just connecting to the closest local cellular towers.
Just bouncing a signal.
Right. Those towers register the digital signature of the device, they triangulate the signal, and honestly, that's mostly how your location sharing app knows roughly where they are.
But don't they use GPS satellites too?
They do, yeah. Mobile apps definitely supplement the cell towers by connecting with UPS satellites to get a more exact pinpoint. But here is the critical limitation that most people miss.
Okay, what is it?
Even if the phone's internal GPS chip successfully calculates its exact coordinates from the satellites, it still absolutely requires an active cellular data network or a Wi-Fi connection to transmit those coordinates back to your app.
Wait, really? So if they wander into a cellular dead zone, like maybe a dense park or a hiking trail or even just the basement of a big concrete building.
Yep, completely dead in the water.
So it doesn't even matter how many multi-billion dollar satellites are flying overhead. The phone knows where it is, but it physically can't tell me where it is.
Exactly. That is the fundamental flaw. The data is just trapped on the device.
Oh, wow.
But despite this, phone tracking remains super popular because the barrier to entry is literally zero.
Right, if your kid already has a phone, you just use it.
Yeah, apps like Apple's Find My or Google's Family Link, Life360, they're all free and they're intuitive. But relying on them introduces this massive conflict of interest within the device itself.
What do you mean a conflict of interest?
Well, a smartphone's operating system is designed to do one thing above all else, which is preserve its own battery life so the user can just keep scrolling and playing and watching videos.
And constantly pinging a satellite in space is probably a huge drain on the battery.
A massive drain. It requires constantly powering up the internal antenna and keeping the main processor awake. So the phone's OS kind of acts like this hyper-aggressive office manager.
Okay, an office manager. I like that.
Right. So when a tracking app is running in the background, which let's be real, it almost always is, since kids aren't just actively staring at their own tracking dot on a map.
Obviously not.
Right. So that office manager sees the app using power and literally sends the app to sleep to save energy. It just cuts off its access to the antenna. And furthermore, kids can easily get a pop-up notification that says, hey, this app is using your location. And they just casually tap turn off without even grasping the real-world implications.
Just because they want to save their battery for Roblox or whatever.
Absolutely.
You know, I look at it this way. A smartphone is basically the ultimate Swiss Army knife.
Oh, that's a great analogy.
Right. It's got the blade, the tweezers, the little scissors, the toothpick. It is fantastic for everyday inconveniences.
Yeah, it does a little bit of everything.
But if you are suddenly dropped into a literal life or death survival situation out in the wilderness, you don't want a complex Swiss Army knife.
Yeah.
You just want an unbreakable, dedicated, single-purpose compass that points north no matter what.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And you want a compass that doesn't just decide to take a nap right when you need it most.
Right.
Which brings us to what the Angel Sense Guide reveals as maybe the most dangerous limitation of phone apps, which is the refresh rate hibernation.
Okay, tell me about the hibernation.
So, to appease that aggressive battery-saving office manager we talked about, these background tracking apps are forced into a deep sleep state.
So they aren't actually tracking live?
No, they're only allowed to wake up and ping the network intermittently. Sometimes, an app operating in the background might only update a location every 15 minutes.
Wait, every 15 minutes?
Yep.
I mean, that doesn't sound terrible at first until you actually put it into a real-world context. Like, in 15 minutes of an app hibernating, a child running away in a panic can cover well over a mile.
Easily.
Or a kid who wanders off and just hops onto a city bus, they could be three towns over before the phone on your end even registers that they've left the playground.
And you're just sitting there frantically refreshing your screen.
Looking at a little map pin that's a quarter of an hour out of date, that's terrifying.
The stakes are incredibly high.
Yeah.
But dedicated GPS devices, they operate on entirely different physics. Their primary function isn't saving battery for a YouTube video.
Right, their only job is the compass job.
Exactly. It's maintaining a lock on those satellites.
Mm-hmm.
They use dedicated cellular connections that are optimized solely for transmitting small packets of location data instantly.
So they don't go to sleep?
No, their update frequencies are dictated by safety protocols, not a consumer operating system.
Mm-hmm.
So they provide consistent, real-time tracking, often updating every few seconds when the wearer is in motion.
Okay, wait, I have a thought. If the smartphone's processor is aggressively managing power just from, like, background tasks, what happens when a kid is actually using the phone all day?
Oh, it gets so much worse.
Because the Angel Sense Guide drops this really concerning stat about daily usage. It says Generation Z spends almost 2 hours more each day on their phones than Gen X does.
Yeah, the screen time is wild.
They're playing graphic-intensive games, streaming videos on TikTok, messaging on a dozen different apps simultaneously.
Constantly draining the battery.
Exactly. So by the time a critical after-school emergency actually happens, say it's like 4.00 p.m. on a Tuesday, that phone's battery has been under heavy, sustained assault since 8:00 a.m.
Right.
Their primary safety device is practically dead before the dangerous part of the day even begins.
It basically ceases to be a safety device and just becomes an expensive piece of glass sitting in their backpack.
That's such a good point.
A dedicated GPS tracker, though, is deliberately devoid of all those distractions. There's no screen for games, no app store, no video player.
So the battery actually lasts.
Right. The entire power cell is reserved exclusively for location tracking and emergency communication.
Okay. I'm going to play devil's advocate for a second here.
Go for it.
Because I know parents are listening to this right now and thinking about the immense communication power of a smartphone. Like, let's assume the battery isn't dead.
Okay. Best case scenario.
Right. In an emergency, a kid can text you. They can open Google Maps, drop a pin, share it into a family WhatsApp chat. They can initiate a live FaceTime call so you can see their exact surroundings and talk them down.
Sure, they have all those tools.
Doesn't all that complex, multi-layered functionality actually empower a kid to help themselves in a crisis?
Well, what's fascinating here is how the human brain actually processes extreme stress and why complex functionality is actually the enemy of panic.
Oh, interesting. How so?
Yes. For a totally calm teenager who just missed a bus and needs to coordinate a pickup, those smartphone tools are fantastic. But we're talking about true crises here.
Like getting profoundly lost.
Or facing a physical threat. Or experiencing a severe autistic meltdown. When the brain enters a state of panic, that fight, flight, or freeze response, the amygdala literally hijacks the nervous system.
Right. The lizard brain takes over.
Exactly. And executive functioning, which is the part of the brain that handles logic, multi-step planning, and the fine motor skills, it just completely plummets.
So the very act of unlocking the phone, swiping to find the right app, tapping a share button, and typing out a message, that all becomes a monumental cognitive hurdle.
It becomes nearly impossible for a panicked mind. And this is magnified exponentially for an autistic child.
The guide talks a lot about this, right?
It does. It emphasizes that children with autism often experience severe communication barriers when they are stressed. Their fine motor skills can literally deteriorate under sensory overload.
So expecting them to pinch and zoom on a touchscreen during a meltdown is just totally unrealistic.
It is a fundamental misunderstanding of the neurobiology of panic. And beyond that, the smartphone itself can actually become a dangerous visual distraction.
What do you mean? Like, they focus too much on it?
Exactly. A child might become so fixated on staring down at their screen, maybe trying to fix an app that froze, that they completely fail to pay attention to physical dangers around them.
Like stepping into oncoming traffic.
Exactly.
Wow. And we really need to stress for the listeners that we aren't talking about rare, you know, hypothetical emergencies here. The guide highlights some incredibly sobering statistics about wandering specifically.
Wandering or elopement is a pervasive issue.
The numbers are shocking.
Studies referenced in the guide show that 30% of autistic children between the ages of 7 and 10 have a tendency to wander away from safe environments.
30%.
Yes. They might be seeking out a specific interest, like a body of water, or they might just be fleeing from overwhelming sensory input.
And it isn't strictly limited to kids on the spectrum either, is it?
Not at all. Fully 11% of their younger, quote-unquote, unaffected siblings also manage to escape adult supervision at some point. It is a terrifyingly common scenario.
Okay, but if a kid is too overwhelmed by sensory input or panic to tap a screen on a smartphone, aren't they also too panicked to operate a dedicated tracker?
That's a great question.
Like, how does a single-purpose device actually solve the panic problem if they still have to use it?
Well, it solves it by entirely removing the burden of action from the child. High-quality, purpose-built GPS trackers are engineered for frictionless intervention.
Frictionless. I like that.
Right. They feature really robust two-way calling mechanisms. But unlike a phone, they don't require the child to swipe to answer or even hold the device up to their ear. The most critical feature here is the automatic answer capability.
Wait, automatic answer, meaning the caregiver initiates the call and the device just opens the line by itself.
Correct. The caregiver presses a button on their own app on their phone, and the wearable device on the child auto-answers via a built-in speakerphone.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so the parent can instantly hear what is happening in the child's environment.
Right.
Like, is there traffic noise? Is someone else talking to them?
And they can talk back.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The parent can speak directly to the child to de-escalate their panic, provide directions, or simply let them know, hey, help is coming. And all of this happens without the child needing to press a single button or even move their hands.
That is incredible. It fundamentally flips the dynamic, doesn't it? From the child needing to reach out for help to the parent being able to instantly reach in.
It's a total paradigm shift in how we think about emergency communication.
It really is. And it speaks directly to the idea that preventing a dangerous situation from spiraling out of control is the ultimate goal.
Absolutely.
Which brings us to, and here is where it gets really interesting. Let's look at geofencing. Now, most of you listening probably know the basic concept of geofencing.
Right, the invisible boundary.
Yeah, drawing that invisible digital fence around a school or a therapy center or maybe a relative's house so you get an alert on your phone if your child crosses the line.
It sounds perfect in theory.
Right. But what the Angel Sense Guide reveals is that how that boundary is enforced technologically makes all the difference in the world.
It is literally the difference between genuine peace of mind,
yeah,
and just constant terrifying false alarms.
Because smartphones are so accessible, right? Everyone in the family can just download the same free app, set up a geofence, and they just assume the execution is flawless.
But it's not. Phone-based geofences rely on that exact same flawed mobile architecture we discussed earlier.
Right, because if a phone's GPS signal is weak, it sort of panics and starts grabbing at whatever data it can find to guess its location.
Exactly. It'll try bouncing off nearby Wi-Fi routers. Or the GPS signal literally bounces off dense physical structures.
So, like, if your child is sitting in a school cafeteria that's surrounded by thick concrete walls,
the smartphone signal will reflect off that concrete. And suddenly, the app calculates that the phone is 3 blocks away from the school, completely outside the geofence.
Oh my God. So the parent gets an immediate alert that their child has left the building.
triggering absolute sheer panic, when in reality, the child is just sitting there eating lunch.
That sounds like a nightmare. So how does a dedicated device actually solve the signal bounce issue? Does it just have like a much bigger antenna?
No, it's actually way more sophisticated than that. Advanced dedicated trackers utilize AI-powered geofencing.
AI-powered, okay.
Yeah, instead of just taking a raw, messy GPS coordinate at face value, the system's machine learning algorithms actually analyze the context of the data.
How does it know the context?
Well, the AI learns the child's typical routines over time.
Mm-hmm.
It understands the specific Wi-Fi and cellular signatures of the safe zone, and it cross-references any location drift with accelerometer data.
Wait, accelerometer data? Like movement data?
Exactly. So if the GPS suddenly shows the child 3 blocks away, but the accelerometer registers that the child hasn't physically taken any steps.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Right. The AI instantly recognizes, okay, this is a signal bounce. It filters out the error, and it prevents the false alarm entirely.
It's essentially fact-checking its own location data before terrifying the parent.
That's exactly what it's doing.
That is so smart. But I do want to throw another practical pushback your way, focusing more on the kids themselves.
Okay, let's hear it.
What about the human element of, you know, bypassing these controls? Because I kind of picture a smartphone like a sprawling house with 100 different windows.
Okay, a house with windows.
Yeah, like you as a parent can try to lock the front door by using an app locker, but a motivated kid is just going to sneak out through a side window.
They usually do.
They'll find a workaround through a weird web browser, or they'll go deep into the phone's privacy settings and just toggle off the location sharing permissions themselves.
Yeah, kids are phenomenally adept at finding workarounds on phones.
But a dedicated GPS tracker, by comparison, seems more like a secure vault. Like there are literally no windows to sneak out of.
That is precisely the architectural difference. With a phone, you are fighting an uphill battle against the inherent nature of a smartphone, which is literally designed to be an open, user-customizable ecosystem.
Right. It wants you to change the settings.
Exactly. But dedicated devices are closed systems. Many of these wearables are designed so the user physically cannot access settings, they can't turn off the GPS, and they can't even power down the device without the parent's companion app authorizing it first.
That is a huge relief for parents, I'm sure.
But, you know, if we connect this to the bigger picture for a second, it is really crucial to recognize that safety isn't just about locking down the technology.
Right, it's not a prison.
Exactly. It's about the underlying relationship between the caregiver and the child.
And the guide actually makes a point of addressing trust, doesn't it?
It does. It emphasizes that regardless of the hardware you ultimately choose, caregivers must be totally transparent. Tracking should never, ever be a covert surveillance operation.
You can't just slip it in their backpack secretly.
No, that breaks trust instantly.
Mm.
You have to explain to the child why the device is being used, framing it as a tool for their independence rather than, you know, a leash.
Right.
And critically, parents need to match the severity of the monitoring tool to the child's true objective risk level.
So what does this all mean for you listening today? Like, how do you actually sit down and make this choice for your own family?
Well, the AngelSense guide lays out a highly pragmatic decision matrix.
Yeah, it requires asking yourself some pretty blunt, uncompromising questions about your actual reality. Like, will your child actually remember to charge a device every night?
And will they refrain from draining it playing games at lunch?
Right. Can they reliably operate a touchscreen when they are terrified? Do they have any history of elopement? How inherently risky is their daily physical environment?
The answers to those specific questions dictate one of two distinct paths.
Okay, let's break down the paths.
Path A is the smartphone route. This is ideal for an older child who is highly dependable.
So even a child on the autism spectrum, if they're high functioning.
Exactly. If they thrive on predictable routines and they've proven they can communicate clearly and effectively under stress, then a smartphone is a wonderful tool.
It actually facilitates their independence.
It actively does. They can text to check in, use maps, navigate public transit, and just safely explore their world.
But then there's path B.
Right. Path B is for families where the complexity of a smartphone introduces vulnerability rather than safety.
So for much younger children.
Or for kids with limited or nonverbal communication abilities, or honestly, any child who has a history of wandering or experiencing severe sensory meltdowns. For them, dedicated safety devices are not just an alternative.
They are an absolute necessity.
They really are.
And the source gets very specific about what that necessity looks like by breaking down the features of the AngelSense system itself. It goes way beyond just basic tracking.
Oh, yeah. It's actually classified as AI-based assistive technology.
Which is a whole different level. It provides real-time updates and continuous location history. But the feature that truly just stops you in your tracks is the direct data sharing with first responders.
That is such a massive operational advantage.
Because when the worst happens, you know, you aren't trying to text a blurry screenshot of a map app to a 911 dispatcher.
Right. The AngelSense system allows a caregiver to instantly dispatch a secure live tracking link directly to emergency services.
So the police officers in their actual cruisers,
they see the real-time moving location of the child right on their own dispatch screens. It completely eliminates that communication bottleneck during the most critical minutes of a search.
That could literally save a life.
Mm-hmm.
The guide also touches on the physical design, too, because, again, the best tech in the world totally fails if the kid just takes it off and leaves it on a park bench.
Which happens all the time with smartwatches.
Right. So AngelSense incorporates these secure wearing options. They are sensory friendly for kids who are really sensitive to textures, but they are physically locked in place using mechanisms that require a special magnetic key to remove.
That's brilliant.
And it also features a physical one-push SOS button specifically engineered for a panicked child to use with zero fine motor coordination. Just hit the button.
See, this raises an important question for every family evaluating their setup right now. The guide makes it unequivocally clear that there is no universal one-size-fits-all answer here.
There really is.
Right. The quote-unquote best choice is not the device with the most impressive spec sheet or the most features.
It's just the one that actually works.
The best choice is the tool that functions flawlessly in the messy, chaotic reality of your child's actual daily routine. You can't plan for this idealized scenario where their phone is always at 100% battery and they always answer on the first ring.
You have to engineer your safety net the worst-case scenario. Plan for the reality, not the ideal.
Exactly.
Well, that basically brings us to the end of this deep dive. Thank you so much for joining us as we navigated the massive complexities of child safety tech today.
It's a lot to process.
It is. We've covered the hidden battery-saving hibernations of our phones, the really intense neurobiology of panic, and the incredible life-saving mechanics of AI-powered geofencing.
And ultimately, you know, the profound takeaway from the AngelSense guide is that technology should never be about restricting our loved ones.
Never. It is about equipping them with the right tools so they can safely achieve their highest possible level of independence.
I will leave you with this final thought to consider for everyone listening. We operate in a digital culture that relentlessly pushes us toward convergence.
Divergence, yeah.
That seductive idea that one single, quote-unquote, everything device in our pocket should handle our banking, our entertainment, our social lives, and our physical safety.
It's a lot of pressure on one device.
It is. But as our connected world grows infinitely more complex, is it possible that securing the safety of our most vulnerable loved ones requires us to do the exact opposite?
Oh, wow.
Perhaps true protection demands that we disconnect from the everything device and return to the unbreakable, uncompromised reliability of a single-purpose tool.
A truly vital perspective, because sometimes in a real crisis, the Swiss Army knife is useless. You just need the compass. Keep asking great questions about the technology you bring into your family's lives, everyone, and we will catch you on the next deep dive.